There are almost 8 billion people in the world today. Everyone is unique. Everyone is special. But very few people ever realizes their full potential. How do you find yourself in such a chaotic, fast-paced world where everyone is looking for meaning, significance, and a sense of purpose? And yet discover your own. Welcome to Birthing Purpose Podcast with me, Casey Ann Crossdale. This channel is focused on helping you find your true authentic self while everyone else is competing, comparing, and compromising their character. I am here to help you find your true identity and hone your differences. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Birthing Purpose Podcast with me, your host, Casey Ann Crossdale. This is the Easter season. Today is Good Friday. I'm doing this recording today, Good Friday. This will go live in May, of course, as you all know it, but I personally wanted to identify that today is Good Friday because it is such a sentimental time and it has such great impact on the lives of each believer. And so as we reflect on the death and the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, I hope that this is a time that we will go into fellowship with the Lord, where he can continue to teach us about himself, that we may know him better, and that the true meaning of the crucifixion will come alive, not just in our hearts, but in our soul, in our minds, and in our spirit. This season, we are focusing on the theme Against All Odds. This is episode 3 of season 2, and we have with us a special guest, Mrs. Paula K. Taylor. Paula K. Taylor is a young woman who loves God and is committed to living out his will for her life. In honoring that commitment, she's found herself very passionate about mental health and has dedicated herself to working in the field as much as she is able to. She has used her platform's voice and testimony to educate and encourage persons whenever possible. She's also a certified mental health coach, which has allowed her to work with men and women from different backgrounds with different issues. Paula K has spent time sharing information on mental health and illnesses, encouraging people to seek help where needed, and doing all that she can to stop the stigma attached to mental illness and suicide. She is particularly interested in helping to reshape how the church views and handles mental illness and mental health. Paula K has been a baptized Christian since 2009. However, her relationship with God really blossomed years after her public commitment. She is on a continuous journey to learning to love and trust God and living wholly for him. Welcome, Paula K. It is great to have you. How are you?
Hi, Casey Ann. Thank you so much for having me. I'm pretty good. I'm doing well.
Awesome. This interview, this episode, continues to focus on Against All Odds. That is what we are looking at. But before we jump into it, you know, I like to break the ice a little bit. And so I would like for you to share with us, what's your favorite funny story to tell people? So I know that we all have stories and I'm sure that there is one of your own. So let's share with us your favorite funny story to tell people.
I don't really have much funny stories to tell people, you know, to be quite honest. But I guess I don't even know. Oh, there's one funny story I could probably...
That's fine.
I don't know if it's funny, but okay. My mom would tell me that when I was younger, like about, I guess, 2, and she had to, like, get us ready for church, me and my younger brother, she would get me dressed mm-hmm. and then, you know, leave me one side and go and get my brother, who at the time was like a baby mm-hmm. baby. So one day she had mm-hmm. gotten me all dressed up and stuff, and she went to prepare my brother, and she didn't hear me. She couldn't hear me, and she was wondering, why is she so quiet? And when she went out there, she saw that I had mm-hmm. gotten into the Vaseline, the big, you know, those big tubs of Vaseline that, you know, my arms like. And I got into it, and I had smothered mm-hmm. it all over my face, my hair, my dress, my legs. I was grinning. I was, like, so happy about it. And she said she just take off my mm-hmm. clothes and just stay home. There was no going to church that day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's actually a funny one. Thank you for sharing. Right. So, as is customary for this podcast, I always ask for each guest to share with us their salvation story. I know that you mentioned getting saved from 2019, but taking that more serious commitment with the Lord at a later stage in your life. Just walk us through for a moment your salvation story. How did you come to Christ and the transformation that has happened from then
All right,
to now?
So it was definitely 2009. And I remember I was in third form at that time. I went to boarding school mm-hmm. and I had come home for mm-hmm. the Christmas holidays in December of 2009. Months before that, my mom was saying to me that, you know, we need to get baptized. We being me and my brother. We need to get baptized and, mm-hmm. you know, it's time now and, you know, all those things, because I grew up in church, and mm-hmm. just like, we need to get baptized, no one, it's time, yeah. and, you know, and I'm just like, I never felt ready, and I felt like, you know, I should have at least mm-hmm. gone through some discipleship classes or something, because that's what I've seen other people do. They go through these different classes and sessions before they get baptized.
Right.
But essentially, it was just like, mm-hmm. you know, you don't need to do that. You've been in church long enough, and blah, 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 blah. And I just want to say my mom, she was just doing mm-hmm. the best that she could, doing what she thought was right at the time. So
right.
I don't feel any bitterness towards her about mm-hmm. that. Anyway, I came home in right. December, and on, I think it was the 31st of December, my brother and I and two other young ladies, we were all, at that time, pastor's kids. So we all got baptized the same night. Honestly, my expectation mm-hmm. was very far-fetched. I literally expected to go down in that water and come mm-hmm. out feeling like a whole new person. Feeling, I don't right. know, like a magical tingling or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, obviously, that didn't happen. And mm-hmm. but I felt like, okay, I'm baptized now and I should be acting different now. And I tried mm-hmm. my best to, I went back to school, went back to boarding school, and I was trying to act different, be different, you know, because mm-hmm. I let all my friends know, hey, I got baptized over Christmas. And so I went back to school and I was trying to be the good little church girl that, you know, I was expected to be. But I mean, over the years from 2009 and years after, it was difficult because at that time I didn't recognize it, but I was trying to do all these things in my own strength.
And then I had some experiences that were really, really bad. And it made me question God. It made me question myself. It made me question if this whole Christian thing was even worth it, because why am I experiencing these difficulties? And shouldn't I have been changed? You know, shouldn't I not be struggling with certain things? I got baptized. And I think I had to learn over the years that, you know, it's not a magical water that you dip into and you come out
right
in person. Like salvation, yes, you get salvation, but the transformation is continual, and you're going to be tempted, but now you have the Holy Spirit to help you fight these temptations and resist these temptations. So yeah, I had a lot of difficulties following that baptism. And when I got into university, even more challenges. But I remember, I think it was 2015, I had, I think, probably the biggest encounter, or I'm going to say my life-changing encounter with the Lord. It was a whole thing. Long story short, he wake me up in the middle of the night and he talked to me clear, and said, look, this path that you're going down, you cannot continue. You're my child, and your life is mine. And I had to, and I still have to learn what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be a child of God, and how I should live. I will say that I'm in a much better position now than I was in 2009, 2015, 2012, 2019. I'm in a much better position because I have a better understanding of the Lord, and my relationship is a lot more personal. It's not just a because my mom said I need to get baptized, or because I grew up in church, so I need to be doing this. It's because I really love the Lord and I want to live my life for Him. So yeah.
Right. You mentioned, you spoke about the fact that you're a PK, you're a pastor's kid, right?
Yeah.
And I know that society has a standard. I want to put it that way. They have a certain standard at which they think that being a pastor's kid, this is the standard at which you should live. There are certain things that, you know, it's not expected of you to do. Let's talk about that experience for you. Did you feel pressured? I know that you said that your mom would have, you know, indicated that, hey, no, it's time for you to get baptized. But outside of that, growing up in that environment, growing up in a home where, you know, your parents were ministers, and the things that you would have had to do, even if you didn't want to do it, like go to church maybe every Sunday, all of these things, how did that help to shape your life?
My PK experience may be a little bit different than the quote-unquote traditional PK experience, because if you note, what I had said is that at that time, I was a pastor kid. I'm not anymore. And my experience as a PK, it was difficult because my father, yes, he was a pastor, but he was also not living up to his own, the expectations placed on him.
Right.
And that affected how I operated in my then denomination. My mom was very active in leadership. So I was very familiar with not just like our local body leadership, but even like the quote unquote bigger heads, I'm going to say. I was familiar with how they operated. I was familiar with all those different things, and I definitely felt the weight of expectation from both ends, because one, you have the congregants who they know you as the pastor's daughter, and you know how people are when it comes to pastors' families and quote-unquote first families and whatever, you know, so they have the expectation that you are like a standard for the young people, and you are a torchbearer of some sort. But then on the flip side, I also had the expectation, and it wasn't a good expectation, where persons who were familiar with my father's style of leadership, and I'm going to say his failures, they kind of looked on my family with scrutiny. There were some persons who were kind to us, but I was also aware of the scrutiny that I was under. And so I felt very intense. I felt this pressure to perform. I felt this pressure to be perfect, to be to not make any kind of mistakes. And as a human being, it's not easy for you to not make a mistake. That's a whole part of the human process. But whenever I made mistakes, it felt extra devastating. It felt extra, I'm going to say, like, devastating. Yeah, that's the word. So, I mean, being a PK, personally, it wasn't all great. It wasn't great. I'm going to safely say that I hated it. I'm going to be honest. I hated it.
Yeah.
Especially with my own experiences. I did not like it. Some persons have great experiences being a PK and they can live up to expectations. I couldn't. And I hated it. But I also treasure those moments because I look back at them and I see the things that were good, the things that weren't so good, and I learned from them. I can look back in retrospect and be like, okay, this is not the kind of Christianity I want for my family, my children. I want to experience church in a very healthy, transparent, holistic way.
So let's talk about how, so your father was a pastor, right? And with everything that you would have gone through, let's talk about how that would have impacted your relationship with your dad, you know, that role model that you would want to look up to as a young girl, right? How did that affect your relationship with your father?
It's so funny that you're asking me this question because I just published my poetry a couple of weeks ago. And one of the themes in that is it centered around my relationship with my dad. So off the bat, as a little girl, I was a daddy's girl. It was me and my dad right through and through. But as I grew up and I kind of had a better understanding of, you know, the things that were happening around me in our family, in church, and I would hear certain things and I would see certain things, I started to realize my father's imperfections. And it was painful realization, but it was more painful when it felt as though he wasn't going to necessarily change. It hurt me because I was thinking, if you love me, I feel like it would make an effort because things that you do affect me. It affects your family. And I think that if you actually love us, you make the effort. But, you know, he did his thing. And he was actually removed from pastoring churches. So he would be like a visiting pastor, or a visiting preacher rather, but he wouldn't be in charge of a church per se. So it really, and I guess that wasn't even the main thing that affected our relationship, but I can say it kind of it I'm gonna say it influenced it too. There are other things. My parents are now separated, well, have been for the last decade. And they've been separated, and that has affected our own relationship. It's been strained. And now on this side of life, I'm healing, and we're talking a little bit more. But it's just been it's been challenging.
So you just spoke about your parents, and I know that you're a newlywed. You just recently got married yourself. Let's talk about that. You know, for a lot of people, when we go through these experiences, then it changes our perspective. And for you, it could have, you know, it could have, we're talking about against all odds, and it could have changed your perspective on marriage. but instead you're now happily married. So let's talk about that part. How did you get from, you know, being impacted by the relationship of your parents, but yet still going on to finding the love of your life and getting married?
So I will say that my parents' marriage definitely affected my perspective of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, I just had the thought that marriage is not for me, because
right.
if I come from these two people, I share their blood, mm-hmm. I share their DNA, and if they mm-hmm. could not maintain a good marriage, then me having both of their makeup, obviously mm-hmm. it's not going to work out for me because they're my parents. But I still had desire to be married, and I tried to get rid of desire. I tried to like ignore it. So when I was dating, I made horrible choices. And I think because I was trying to not find people that were like my dad, I was kind of fixed right. on that. I was ignoring the mm-hmm. other things that I should be looking out for. And right. so I fell into a lot of messy situations and into some traps.
Right.
After a while, I just kind of gave up, and I also got to a point where I was like, Lord, if it is your will, show me the person that you want me to be with, also like prepare my heart, heal my heart, and, you know, help me to prepare for this, because
mm-hmm.
if I'm going to get married, I want it to be for life. I don't want the kind of marriage that my parents had.
Right.
A healthy marriage. And I started to pray on and off for my spouse over mm-hmm. Some time. I started to write letters to my future spouse, write prayers
right.
for him, and, you know, pray for him and stuff. And it's so funny, but the year that I met my husband, mm-hmm. a couple months before I met him, I was in a very messy situation. Then I was like, God, I'm done. Me,
mm-hmm.
done. I'm not doing this. Like, you're going to just have to drop the man in my lap or something, because I don't care no more. I'm going to be single forever. I'm going to buy some cats. I'm going to just do mm-hmm. me. Like, it's me and you, okay? Because clearly,
right.
I'm cut out for this. And mm-hmm. in the year, I met my husband. And
wow.
how I met him was just so funny, because neither of us were in a place where we wanted to be in a relationship. And we were mm-hmm. both at the point where, God, it's me and you. We don't care no more. And God was like, perfect. Right. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so. I mean, as a newlywed, everything is fresh. And,
right.
you know, you have to be kind of careful of like the fairy tale the fairy tale visions of marriage, and be mindful mm-hmm. that the enemy hates marriage, he hates family, and so he's going to do everything to destroy mm-hmm. you. So my mm-hmm. husband and I were very aware of our past, we're very aware of our individual family issues,
right.
and so we're very prayerful over our marriage, over our family and our children to come, and just taking it one step at a time.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's funny that you said that it happened at a time that you both weren't looking for it to happen, at a point where, you know, you had already told yourself that, okay, it's me and you, God. And it's interesting, because those are the moments that God actually waits for.
Yeah.
The moments when we are not busy, just caught up doing our own thing, trying to make things work on our own and in our own strength.
Yeah.
And so I am happy that you mentioned that. Paula K,
yeah.
you call yourself the stilled soul. And I am very intrigued by this. And I just want to know, where did that come from? The stilled soul. Let's talk about that.
The stilled soul. I'm going to tell you straight up, that came from the Lord. And let me tell you mm-hmm. how it happened. So in some years, when I was in university, I think I was in my third mm-hmm. year, And I was struggling with anxiety. Like I had an undiagnosed at the time, undiagnosed anxiety disorder. And I was very depressed. And I was really struggling through school and everything. I also wanted, like, I was on Instagram. When Instagram, I think it was just kind of popular, getting popular. And I wanted to create, like, a online platform that was meaningful. And I also wanted to create a blog that was meaningful. And at that time, I had started, like, two different blogs, start and stop, delete them. And then I was like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to do this again until I get direction from the Lord. And I was praying and talking to God about how I want to write and stuff. And I just heard The Stilled Soul. And I have it written down somewhere. But essentially, it was like, at that point in time, I was struggling with anxiety. Nothing about me felt healed. But it was like a prophetic word over my life. That even though at that point I was struggling with anxiety, I was very nervous and all that, God was going to steal my heart. He was going to give me peace, and he will continue to give me peace. And I had gone through a couple Instagram names and tried to create like a online persona, but it was it didn't feel genuine, didn't feel me, didn't feel like, you know, real. I also had like a couple blogs, and I had one blog and it was going okay, but it didn't feel like what it is that I wanted to do. I stopped blogging, and I was just spending time asking the Lord, like, you know, how do I do this? Like, I want to write, but I don't want to just write just willy-nilly. So I asked him, you know, what should I write about? And I think, I don't remember if he said to me or somebody said it to me, but the mention of mental health came about. And, you know, talking about my own experiences with mental health and spreading that kind of awareness. And I was like, yeah, I'd actually love to do that, because a lot of persons don't know enough about mental health. And, you know, persons tend to be chastised or even ostracized for having those kind of issues, and instead of getting the help that they need, they are pushed aside to kind of figure it out on their own, which makes it worse. And so I started to spend a lot of time reading more about mental health. And like, I was doing my degree in psychology, but I wanted like more information. And then the Lord just said to me, The Stilled Soul. And I was like, what does that mean? What do you mean by The Stilled Soul? And have it written down. So I can't give you like the entire reference, but it was essentially him showing me that, yes, I have anxiety right now. Yes, I'm dealing with it right now. However, it was like a prophecy for me. So calling myself The Stilled Soul, speaking that over my life, was essentially me prophesying that my mind and my heart will be stilled. I will experience that peace from the Lord, because he promises that to me. So when I took on the name The Stilled Soul, I was anything but still. But it was something that was meaningful. It was my personal prophecy. And I've been operating from that space, operating from the space of, okay, anxiety doesn't have that strength over me. Depression doesn't have that strength over me. You know, mental health issues don't have that strength over me, because I have, I'm stilled and I have the peace of the Lord with me. And yeah, so that is the very long version of why I am The Stilled Soul.
Beautiful. Very beautiful. I mean, from my side, I've been intrigued, and I'm happy that now I get the opportunity to hear why. you touched on this a little bit just now, and that was what I was going to next. You are a mental health coach, right?
Yeah.
And I want us to go through that journey. I know that you just published a book as well, but I want to take it one bit at a time.
Yeah.
But I want us to speak about that mental health journey. Clearly you are passionate about mental health. I want to know where that came from, where that inspiration came from, where did you get that motivation? When did you know that you wanted to become a mental health coach? And just for each of our listeners, just speak to us also briefly on the importance of mental health, finding somebody that, you know, you can be comfortable enough to speak to about these challenges that, you know, a lot of us face.
So I know I'm going to sound super spiritual because all of my answers start with the Lord told me. But
yeah,
in 2019, the end of 2018, In 2019, in the middle of the year, I left my job. I left where I was living. I essentially packed up my life and I moved back home to my mom's house because the Lord led me to do that. And I also had a very horrible experience. And I was running away from sin.
You're running away, yeah.
I was running away from sin. And when I was at home, I spent a lot of time praying and asking the Lord for purpose, like, what do you want me to do? Like, you give me this, you drop this passion for mental health in me, and I just have this drive to tell people, you know, how to take care of their minds and create spaces where persons will feel safe to talk about the things that they're struggling with and not feel embarrassed or ashamed. And I feel all these things and I want to do so much, but like, how do you want me to go about it? And one day I was home alone. My mom had gone to work and I was still asking the same thing, praying and writing letters to him and stuff. And him just said, mental health coach. And I'm like, okay. So I wrote it down and I was like, all right, then cool. Mm-hmm. What is this? Because I never heard about that yet. And he he gave me the blueprint of what it should look like, what I need to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, okay, this sounds like what I want to do. And the following year, 2020, when everything crashed and burned, I enrolled in a life coaching course, and then I found a very specific mental health coach course, 3 certifications, and I did those things. And I spent a very long time preparing myself, prayerfully preparing myself. And I mean, I spent an extra long time because I was afraid. But 2021, the Lord sent my first client my way, and she would not leave me alone. She would not, like, even when I'm just like, you sure don't want to go to somebody else? You sure don't want to see somebody else? I can't send you info. She's like, no, I want you to help me. And I had my first client, and, you know, we had our sessions, and she had a very evident transformation with that time with me. And I mean, I've been doing mental health coaching for this is going to come out in May, for a year. I've been doing it for a year. And I mean, for anybody who's listening, like, when it comes to your mind, I know that, well, nowadays there's more focus being placed on mental health, which is great. I love it. There are more persons speaking up, more influential voices speaking up on, you know, the effects of mental health issues and how it can really negatively impact your life and what you need to do to maintain good mental health and all these different things. And so I would encourage persons to not be afraid to acknowledge, first of all, don't ignore when you're going through mental health struggles, because ignoring it doesn't make it go away.
Right.
Also, don't be afraid to reach out. If you have persons in your life who love you who care about your well-being, I'm sure that they would want to help you as best as they can with your mental health issues. And if they can't help you, if them have information about, you know, practitioners who can help you, they will. And there's so many different, you know, mental health services out here. I mean, Jamaica doesn't have the best system, but there are private practices available that can help you. For me, I like to say that my service is like mental health first aid, which it is. I like to help people, especially in the stages where you're not in a chronic state. You're probably having depressive episodes, dealing with stressors and stuff. I like to help them or get them at that point where it's not really bad. And they and I help them get techniques, talk through things, give them tools to work with so that they are able to manage and deal with themselves before it gets out of hand. So I'll encourage anybody to not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid.
Right. So you mentioned earlier, right, we're talking about against all odds. And you mentioned something very interesting earlier, that you are at a point where you had just left your job, made a decision by the directive of the Holy Spirit to return home. And so I can imagine that at that point of your life, you weren't in your best frame of mind.
Not at all.
You mentioned that you were running away from sin. And at this point was where God spoke to you and said, hey, this is the path that I want you to take. This is where I want you to go.
Yeah.
And so I just want you, in a minute, to encourage somebody who will be listening, who thinks that, okay, everything needs to be all dandy, everything needs to be perfect in my life in order for God to speak to me or for me to be used by God. What would you say to someone who is listening, who is struggling? They're probably struggling right now to understand who they are, understand purpose. They've not yet tapped into the potential that they have and the giftings that God has equipped them with. What would you say to them?
The first thing I would say to them is, it's not your job to be perfect. It's not a prerequisite to be perfect. There's nobody in the Bible who have been used by God who have been perfect. King David, everybody's favorite king. He made so many mistakes. Like half of Second Samuel's, First Samuel's is riddled with the mistakes that David made. Yet he was called a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he was repentant. Every time he made a mistake, he made his way back to God. And so rather than seeking to be perfect, rather than seeking perfection, I would encourage you to seek repentance.
Right. All right. So you're a mental health coach now, and we have gone through so many experiences that you would have journeyed through, right? You experience anxiety. You struggle with anxiety for a period. You had your own depressive episodes. Let's talk about how you were able to overcome to now being a mental health advocate, not just a coach, but an advocate. Let's talk about that.
So I had the belief for the longest while that, like other people, mental health issues, if it's not very serious to the point of seeming insanity, it's not something worth looking into. And I also had this belief that as a Christian, I shouldn't be dealing with certain things. Like I have God, and I so I hear say amen, but I'm going to tell you why that was not a good thing. So I didn't believe that I should be struggling with mental health issues because I feel like, I mean, I should pray it off or read scripture, read enough scripture to get rid of it. Like it's almost like I was treating scripture like a chant. you know.
Right.
And I would pray about things. I would, you know, recite some scripture. But there was something else that just was there and that wasn't budging. And one day,
right,
I was just talking to God. I was saying, Lord, I'm struggling. Like, I don't know what to do anymore. I'm reading these scriptures. I write them down. I see them all the time. I'm praying about it. And what more can I do? And the Lord just said to me, go to therapy. I was like, what?
Right.
And he said, go to therapy. I see that you're praying. Right. I see that you're reading your scripture. But something need to be dealt with practically. And so it doesn't, like, going to therapy does not diminish the effects of prayer and reading the word.
I wish I could put a pause here and put it like on a plug or something. I know you said, I said amen. And I said amen because I'm actually in agreement with what you're saying, because I mean, that is the culture and the belief of society, that as believers, God is all in all. And that is true. Yes, God is all in all. But of course, he would have made sure that we had all of these people, doctors, we have nurses, we have counselors, all of them, and he would have equipped them with the gifts, and with the talent that, you know, they need to help us. So I'm actually very much in agreement with what you were saying.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because like you said, you're not going to say to a cancer patient, don't go to the doctor, just pray it off and fast away the cancer. No, you're going to pray for them. You're going to pray with them and encourage them to pray, but you're also going to encourage them to go to the doctor to get their checkups, their therapies, and all these different things. So it shouldn't be different for a mental health issue, right? So I got out of that mindset where, because I'm a Christian, I shouldn't be dealing with these things. And I went to see a therapist. And let me tell you, it helped me so much. It helped me so much. It delved into some things that I never even know was affecting me. Happened so long ago. And I didn't even realize that this thing that happened when I was a child was really affecting you now. Now as an adult. So listen, therapy, Jesus and therapy, they work.
Yes. Right. And I'm in total agreement with that. So for anyone who may be listening, maybe you are struggling, maybe you don't, you feel as though you don't have anyone to talk to, nobody will understand. I just want you to be encouraged with that. Go see a counselor if you need to see a counselor. I mean, of course, continue to pray to God, read the scriptures, fast, and do all the disciplines. But if it gets to the point where you really need to go see a counselor, then do not hesitate to do so.
Right.
Also, Paula K, the last thing that I want to go into, you just recently published a book titled Journey.
Yeah.
And that is very deep for me, you know. I don't know if the meaning behind it is as deep as I imagine, but when I think of journey, it just seems so deep for me. And so let's just talk about the book, talk about how that was birthed, the experience of becoming a published author.
Yeah. So Journey is a collection of poetry and prose, poems and reflections. And these poems were written over the course of, like, over some time period, like my late teens into my early 20s. I wrote these poems over time, and a lot of the poetry that's in there, especially the first part, were written in a time where I was going through deep depression. At that time, I didn't really have, you know, the language for it. And how I dealt with what I was feeling with was that I would write the poetry. And so later on, I had the thought that, you know, I actually want to publish these poems, but I didn't know how I was going to go about it. Especially because I realized, rereading them, that, okay, these are pretty intense. And I don't know if nobody going to want to read all this, because full of feelings. But I, together with my publisher, The Anointed, writer, unedited writer publishing, I was able to piece together the poems that would work and would tell the story of a journey from basically darkness to light. You know, darkness of depression and, you know, deep sadness and hopelessness into the light of, okay, there's freedom, there's healing, there is hope, all these different things. And the prose, the reflections, they were my, I'm going to say they were my, like my afterthoughts, you know.
Okay.
So I would be able to, in through those reflections, I was able to properly explain or give some more
insight
to what I was experiencing or feeling or going through at the time of these. So it's a journey. The book itself is a journey. It takes you on a journey. And it's one that I hope that a lot of persons will find valuable and connect.
So you were writing from a child. Was this like an escape for you?
Definitely. It was an escape. And then my dad, he was a storyteller. So I got into the habit of writing stories to tell him too, you know.
Wow. So, yeah. Beautiful. So it came from that.
Yeah.
All right. Also, I would like for you to tell the audience, those who will be listening, I mean, you're a mental health coach. There may be someone who, you know, is interested in getting in contact with you. Also, you have a book. You can let them know where they can get a copy of this book for those who may be interested.
Right. So the book, it's Journey by Paula K. Taylor, and you can find that book on Amazon. It's available in paperback and Kindle editions. And for coaching on Instagram, you can find my coaching page at TSS_coaching, and TSS is the Stilled Soul.
Beautiful. All right. And before you go, I would like for you to leave with our listeners the most valuable lesson you would say that you've learned in life. Also, any closing remarks, something that perhaps we did not touch on, we did not discuss, that, you know, is laid on your heart and you would like for them to hear before you go. So what you would say is the biggest lesson you've learned in life?
I think for all the lessons I've learned in life, it can be accumulated into one thing, and that is obedience is better than sacrifice.
Wow.
Yeah. Obeying God is the best thing you can do for yourself. It saves you the heartache. It really does. So obedience
is
better than sacrifice. No closing remarks apart from, you know, thank you so much for having me, Casey, and it was a lovely conversation. I really enjoyed being on this podcast. I'm very honored to be in this space. So thank you.
Thank you so very much, Paula K. Taylor, for taking the time out to be here, for gracing this podcast. May God continue to bless you. May He continue to use you as you continue to inspire and to impact the lives of those around us, to, you know, create change in this world that we live in. May you continue to be that light that shines. May you continue to advocate for mental health. And I pray that God will use you to bring restoration to all of those people around you who are suffering from this. I hope that they will come to you freely.
Yeah.
Right? And that they will be very open. May God continue to bless your ministry.
Thank you.
Thank you again for coming. This is Birthing Purpose Podcast. Until next week, walk good and take care of yourself.